yo, what's up, y'all? It's me, DMC.
The infamous Chicken Hawk, Mac 10.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yellow from the world's most dangerous group.
Yo, check us out. Chuck the Republican.
Yo, what's up? This your boy, C. Murray, and I'm chilling with my boy, Scott Bader.
What's up? This is DLC.
This Young Castro from the Outlaws.
Yo, what's up? It's your boy, Al Capone.
This is your boy, Psycho Nip.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfucker.
It's your boy, DJ Paul KOL from 365.
Young Busy Bomb.
Vice One.
Yo, this is DJ Ready Red.
What up? This is the real Rick Ross.
It's MC Mac for Life, Don the Ball, Supreme Bean, KKZ.
Yo, what up? This is DJ Quick.
Yo, what's poppin'? It's the Kid K, AK.
What's up, y'all? This is the boy, Master P.
Yeah, check this out. This is Fresh Blood out the China Man with the 2-Live Group.
Yo, what up, y'all? Yo, Scott Bader, what up, baby? It's your boy, Sheik. Who's hollering at you, man?
This is Jesse Ventura, and you're listening to the Murder Master Music Show.
Trying to hit you with a heater in the middle with a chest plate cavity. Your hoes trying to lose your soul. King of this motherfucking underground rap shit coming out of Fort Worth, Texas. And every day I gotta eat a big bowl of whack, mumbling rappers up for breakfast. Rainy top cone so pure, and it really be dumper than a whole fucking lot of grams. A lot of these hoes be faked in the bitch, and I see right through them like a motherfucking hologram. And if you want it, I can make a motherfucking back of your throat meet a pistol grip. And I can really get a hater hog tied up, wrap them up like a motherfucking Christmas tree.
Showcasing album number 18, The Bloody Rain, from the one and only King JC. You know what I'm saying? Let's bring him on. JC, how you doing, brother?
Hey, I'm good, Scott. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing great, man. Congratulations. The last time we had you on the show, we was talking about your classic LPs from the past, and now you got one right now, present day, man. How does it feel to drop your 18th album, Bloody Rain?
Man, it's insane. Things been really crazy. Wasn't expecting this, you know, at my age to be in the game for so long, my majority of my life, and then to step away for so long, and then to be back at it, man. It's just what a blessing, brother. You know, I'm loving it, man.
Yeah, 100%. Of course, you know, you did the West 10 thing for a minute with you and DJ Trick, and you guys, you know what I'm saying, you made a lot of noise with that, but, you know, you guys kind of disbanded, you know, for at least the time being. What made you want to go solo again and focus on, you know what I'm saying, your original style of music versus, you know what I'm saying, the stuff you were doing with West 10?
Yeah, the West 10 stuff is really what got me back going. And so I'm really grateful to have had that opportunity to do that. And, man, it did really well. And it was great to be traveling again, doing shows in different states. I mean, we were doing a lot in that one little year and a half that we were doing West 10. Man, we covered a lot of ground during that time. And but during that time as well, since I was starting to be in the public eye again, because I had been – Deep in the underground, so I was under the underground, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I was so low key and so out of pocket. People didn't know how to get a hold of me. Even folks I grew up with, they didn't know how to get a hold of me. So once West 10 hit, and then I was in that public eye again. Man, my phone started blowing up. Social media started just getting messages, and everybody was getting at me. And so even guys like Lil J, who I used to make music with, we got back in touch, and we started doing things again. And, man, it's been great. But more than anything, to just get my own studio back up and running. Because, you know, years back, man, I had some bad luck where some folks kicked in my door and cleared me out. So I lost my studio, yeah, about, man, 15, 16, 17, I don't know how many years ago it was now. It's 16 plus years ago. And so I haven't had my own studio for years and years. So I was able to get it built back up, getting the production going, pulling all my old sounds off my discs from my MPC, SV-12, all my old drum sounds, just been pulling discs and getting all my sounds back. So my production is getting back to that point where it used to be, and we're really bringing back that old sound. And so, man, I'm just having a ball with it, man. I'm loving the music I'm making right now. In my personal opinion, it's just the best stuff I've ever done. So,
that's
kind of how things
needed.
Got rolling.
It's definitely needed right now, man. And I'm so glad you came back, because, like you said, you realized, you know, that you had this fan base that was waiting on you. And as soon as you dropped, they was ready. You know, everybody, please go to, you know, your YouTube. Give them your YouTube. I know it's what, King JC TV, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think it's it is King JC TV is the name, and it's under Memphis_KingJC, @Memphis_KingJC. But yeah, it's King JC TV. You could just put King JC on YouTube. And I've got so much stuff on there that it's the first thing that comes up, so everybody will be able to find it.
Yeah, I love it, man, because you got all the classics and anything new that you do, you put on there. You really interact with the fans, and, you know, it goes to show you how much you were appreciated, you know what I'm saying, and still are. That's got to give you motivation to want to keep going.
Absolutely, man. Matter of fact, Scott, if I got a second to share this, because this was huge, and this had a big part of bringing me back in the game as well. It was from a fan up there. I think he's in the Detroit area or Chicago area. He's up north, but his name's Riz. And, man, this guy, he's been a loyal fan for years and years, and he got in touch with me, and he said he knows Tommy Wright. Tommy Wright been talking to him. He said Tommy had been trying to get at me for a while. And so I said, man, give him my number, you know. And Tommy called me. And apparently there's been a lot of new school rappers, new cats, that are sampling all our old music.
Yeah.
So I got word, and I'm grateful to cats like Riz and Tommy. I mean, they could have sat on that information, but they shared this with me. I wouldn't have known otherwise. But ASAP Rocky, one of my songs, and a bunch of other people have too, but this one was significant because it had millions and millions of streams. It was a huge song, but it was like 4 years old. So, man, we ended up going through a process to trying to get that squared away, and we did. And it's just, it was huge, man. It just really, they came through big time. They blessed your brother. And it's really opened up doors for me to do a lot more music. So what I'm doing now is really because of that benefit that hit me. So I wasn't expecting it, but it was a true blessing, man. So
yeah, the fans really came
man,
through
I'm just
on
excited
one.
To share a lot of this new music with you. Yeah.
Yeah, Bloody Rain, man. I was listening to it, and man, it's like you picked up right where you left off. I mean, you know, was it hard for you to get your sound back? Because, I mean, you can't even tell you left the game for so long.
Man, it was kind of hard, and the reason is the technology now is so different.
Yeah.
So it took me about a year to work through the learning curve of running the new studio with the new equipment. But, man, I had produced albums worth of music, but I wasn't getting the sound I wanted. And so I had to break out all my old equipment and my old discs, and I had to go through all these sounds and try to just locate all my old drum sounds, my sample loops, and just everything that I had used. And once I was able to do that, man, the whole world opened up. And so I have a huge sound library built up now. And, man, I've been able to get back to that original sound. So, yeah, it took a while. It even took a while to get the vocals right. Like, I released a couple singles and really wasn't happy with the quality on them, the way they turned out. But I remixed them, remastered them for the album. So now the album's out there, and it sounds amazing.
Absolutely. Now when you got a ASAP Rocky, you know what I'm saying, for the song, like you said, 4 years ago, and does this have you checking all over the place for these new cats, trying to hear if they got any more samples? Because like you said, this is happening a lot, you know, not just with you.
Yeah.
We've heard it on the show from several people, actually. Like that Memphis sound,
yeah.
Man. Everybody wants that sound.
That's right. And, man, pretty much all the Memphis rappers that I grew up with in that they're going through the same process I'm going through now. We all have the same lawyer. So it's being taken care of, and it's blessing us. But it's also really helping out a lot of the new artists who want to sample this stuff, and they want to do it the correct way. They want to license it. They just didn't know how to go about it. So now our lawyer is setting up deals with artists like groups like Suicide Boys and some of these guys that love sampling Memphis music, and he's setting up those deals to where we're working out licensing agreements up front, and that's helping us out a lot. That's been a game changer right there. So yeah, I mean, there's brothers out here who are, man, killing it right now with this. I mean, you got cats like DJ Zerg, DJ Sound. I mean, you know all the guys. You know they're being sampled like crazy right now. Skinny Pimp, of course, is just, man, everybody's sampling him.
Yeah.
So these guys are doing really good. And oh yeah, yeah, all that funk stuff overseas. You know, they're sampling the stuff like crazy. So who would have ever thought that 20, 25 years later, there'd be a new generation of rappers sampling nothing but 90s Memphis rap? That blows my mind still. I can't believe it, man. It reminds me of us back in the day sampling Stax and Motown and the old records that we used to sample.
Parliament,
now,
shit like that, yeah.
Yeah, the Parliament, yeah, exactly. And so now, all the Memphis rappers, we're like the old Motown and the Stax, you know. It's mind-boggling. I would have never saw this coming in a million years.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah, this album here, you know, aside from the West 10 project, this is your first solo, I believe, in 19 years, because My Curse was the last album, number 17. I believe that was 2005. So, you know, that's a hell of a drought, man. But, again, I'm so glad that you're back. You know, well, not a drought, but, I mean, a spell be away, you know, for so long. You know.
Oh, yeah.
Now that you're here, you know, do you have plans to keep it going? Is number 20 in the works?
Man.
Or number 19, I'm sorry.
Right. Well.
So many.
You say 20. I got 19, 20, and 21 about finished.
Really? Wow.
It's insane. I haven't had a chance to talk about this yet. So I'm kind of breaking this news on the Murder Master Music Show, but that's only right because you're my brother, and, man, I've been knowing you, dealing with you longer than anybody in the game. So it's up to do this, to share this. But I'm working on a trilogy Oh, yes, sir, brother. There's a trilogy I'm working on called the Digitate Trilogy. And it's three albums. Each album has 8 to 12 songs. It's a build-up. There's 8 songs on the first, 10 songs on the second, 12 songs on the third tape. And the whole album is going back to the old underground 1994, 95, 96 sound. And
wow.
It's crazy incredible, man. It's just I'm having such a good time making this trilogy. And again, it's almost done. The production of it is all done. I'm just working on wrapping up all the vocals, and we're going to do a tape drop on the first tape of the trilogy, probably within the next month and a half. The reason I'm delaying that a little bit is because the new album, number 18, Bloody Rain, is the life is not done in that album yet. It really just came out. So, yes. And so what we're doing is we're actually bringing cassette tapes out on number 18. And I actually, just before you and I got on the phone, I was on the phone with Trill Hill from Trill Hill Tapes on the West Coast. And I'm working with him to bring out the cassette drop of a limited run for the collectors so they could have number 18 on cassette. And that came about just out of the demand of everybody hitting me up and saying, man, I'm glad you got a new album, but I really don't do the streaming thing. You got to have tapes. And then there's people asking for CDs too. So we're bringing those out as well.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. Oh, I'm one of those asking for the CDs, but it's dope that the tapes are out there too. Because that's the sound, the original sound, that analog sound that you had. You know, people love that now. They're just getting into that, man.
Right.
It's crazy. You know, you think of somebody like Soulja Slim or Nipsey Hussle. Memphis, you know, had that with Young Dolph. We had Squeaky on the show years and years ago when Dolph just came out. He was telling us about this guy, this new guy that's coming out. And did you, before, you know what I'm saying, you stopped making music for a minute, did you ever get to know Young Dolph at all?
Absolutely, I did, but it wasn't through music. So.
Oh, wow.
Let me just share this little story here, because this is going back to, you know, I was involved in ministry. I had got away from the music. I still worked with some musicians here and there, but it was more ministry, doing inner city ministry, South Memphis. I was in Magnolia, which is a neighborhood right there. It's Castalia Magnolia. They're right there next to each other. And basically, I was at the community center in Magnolia. And, man, I had a bunch of students, high school students. It was an after-school program. We did sports, basketball. It was great. And I didn't really know who Young Dolph was. I had heard his name around. But this was his neighborhood. So he was a rock star over in Castalia. I mean, it was just all about Young Dolph. And this was before he really blew up huge. But I ended up working with him. He'd come up to the center, and we'd work out events to give backpacks away, school supplies to the kids, turkeys on Thanksgiving. So we did this constantly. And every time he would drop a video, it would be right out there on the street right in front of our gym and the little corner store right there on the corner. And so – we would have a gym full of high school kids, and I mean a good 100 kids, gym full. And within 2-3 minutes, the gym would just clear out. And we knew Dolph was shooting a video. And everybody would just go jump in the video. So, but I got to know his wife good. She would come up there and be really involved those events. You know, she really loved helping the kids in the neighborhood and giving back. And so that's what her and Dolph did. And then Squeaky, I remember Squeaky even coming up there for some events we would do. Squeaky came through the door. I kind of caught up with him a little bit a couple times. Yeah, it was good. It was good. Those were
that's
good times.
Amazing.
That was Yeah. Yeah. Well, I got a story about Koopsta as well. I don't know how much time you have if you want to get into all that. But it was around that same time. I got a bunch. Well, so this is during that same time. Man, I got so many stories from during the time I wasn't making music. But when I was working at the gym for Memphis Athletic Ministries, I was over there at the gym. And, you know, I was taking the kids through Bible study lessons. And one of the kids that was in my Bible study group, man, we were just talking. Everybody knew who I was as far as that I had this life where I grew up in rap, and they all knew it. And so they would ask me questions from time to time. But this one kid, he said his uncle was a rapper. He's like, yeah, coach, my uncle a rapper, and I think he probably knew you because y'all about the same age. And I said, okay, yeah, I'm sure we might, you know. And I wasn't thinking anything of it. And he said, yeah, he used to rap with 3-6 Mafia. And I was like, really? Then I'm sure I know him then. And I said, who's your uncle? And he said, Robert. I said, Robert? I said, you talking about Coop? And he said, yeah, he go by Koopsta. I said, really? I said, yeah, I know him really well. I said, man, tell your uncle I said what's up, and that King JC up here asking about him. He said, oh, yeah, I will, coach, I will. Didn't think anything of it. Man, next day, Coop roll up there, walk in the door of my gym. JC, what's up, baby? And, man, we got to catch up. And something I definitely want to share with Coop, because a lot of folks don't know this, but, man, he really was getting on track with his life. He had really matured and grew up a lot from back in the days when I knew him. And he had just met this girl that he was getting ready to get married. And she had kids, and he said he's stepping into this father role. And he wanted to give back to the community. He said, Jay, I'm just a different person, man. I want to get up with you, and I want to talk to you some about what you got going on here. I'd like to come up here and talk to the kids. And so we were working out a time for him to come up there and speak to the kids about, you know, getting out the streets and how, you know, they just don't want to be running the streets and just positive stuff. And so we were talking about that every day, getting on the phone, making plans. And then his uncle, who I was real tight with, a brother named Churro, who was the dad of the kid I was telling you about, he comes up there. He's like, Jay, man, you ain't going to believe this, man. Man, something happened to Coop. And he talked about how he had a brain aneurysm, that he was in the hospital. And, man, I couldn't believe it because, I mean, we were just talking every day. We just linked back up. And Churro was keeping me posted on what was going on. And when he called me and he said, man, Coop gone, man. I couldn't believe it. I was shocked.
It was horrible.
I remember being, oh, man, it was horrible. I was shocked, and I was real upset when we lost Lord Infamous, man. Because just, you know, there's just certain memories I have. Just with Lord Infamous, DJ Paul back in the day. And, man, I wish I would have been able to at least see him one more time and talk to him and catch up with him. But we lost him, and then Coop just shocked me, man. I was not – it was so out of the blue. Wasn't expecting it.
Yeah, half the group's gone, you know, with Gangsta Boo, Coop, and Lord, and it's just horrible. A lot of Memphis legends are gone. But, yeah, that was awesome that you were able to build that type of bond with Young Dolph and Coop and, you know, especially, you know, helping kids too, man. That's definitely, you know, much respect for that. Let's go off into a song here off number 18, Bloody Rain. Man, we got three of them here that we're going to play tonight. We got the Boogeyman 6. Those of you who've been following King JC, you already know about the Boogeyman. And we got 10 Toes Down. And we also got Memphis. Which one you want to go with first, Jay?
Man, man, I'd like to bump that Memphis. We just dropped a lyric video on that one. And so, man, it'd be great to go ahead and and play that Memphis. I love that track. That's one of my favorite on the tape.
Okay, we'll play that right now. We'll be right back. Don't go nowhere.
Memphis, where we make our pay. Hold it down.
Yeah, episode, you know what I'm saying, 968, we got King JC. That's Memphis off the album, number 18, Bloody Rain, available right now. I also wanted to bring on the homie Sin from France. I know he's got some questions for you. Let me get him on the line real quick. Sin, you there, brother?
Yes, sir. Hi, King JC, that's Larry. Hi, Scott. It's your French connection.
Hey, Sid, how you doing, brother? Good to hear from you.
I'm fine already. It's nice to have you on your show, as always. Yes, Quand ça se passe, way back in the day, about the Abukek Louvre in any choose, the maxi single cassette. Can you tell us about this one and your words about Albuquerque too?
You're talking about Albuquerque?
Yeah, it's Albuquerque Louvre in 92.
Yeah, Albuquerque Love, the old tape. That was an old underground tape that really wasn't originally released. It was a demo tape, so to speak, and it was just really given out. It was given out to a bunch of folks, and that was a test of what I would be able to do as far as a solo rapper, because I was in a group even back then, and I had a guy help me put that together. So that tape, I didn't do the production or the recording or the mixing or anything. But I really just freestyled and did it's just a lot of freestyle, and then him doing his thing with, like, repeating my verse on some stuff. I think he ran my verse backwards on one of the songs, and he just made a tape for me and helped me to make a tape. So, we eventually did get a cover made for it, and we got it out there a little bit, but it was very limited at the time. This was back really before anybody in the state of New Mexico was doing any kind of rap. Mm-hmm. So we would have been the first ones to really put music out there on tapes and get it out. There were a few others that started doing some stuff kind of close to that time, around 94, I think, is when you had some folks. But see, I had gone to Memphis, so I left Albuquerque, went to Memphis in 93, but then I came back and I kept going back and forth. So some of these guys I did know, and I did shows with some of them, but other guys just kind of came up when I was gone. So I missed out on a lot of what was going on.
So your very first step was King of Heavy in 93. And can you tell us about this one and also the song Laid Back? You can feel an atmosphere throughout this one, the music. Can you tell us about
one,
Laid Back?
Okay, so this tape I did do myself, but it was mostly all breakbeats off of vinyl. So I had turntables and a mixer and a mix mic and a double cassette deck. And so I would basically run a breakbeat. I had the mic, and then I would run even some samples. I was kind of performing while I was recording with the music and the lyrics. It was very difficult to do. And those tapes, I have 50 songs recorded of each one of those, like original different takes of those songs, because it took me so many times to get it down pack enough to where it was good for the album. But that was mostly all break beats. Laid Back came off of an old sample record called Ronnie Ron's Gangsta Boom. I believe that's what it was called. Mm-hmm. Ronnie Ron's Gangsta Boom. And it was a vinyl record that literally said, sample your ass off on the record. And it was a royalty-free samples, loops, breaks. And so I was all over that. I wore that record out. I rapped on almost every beat and every break loop that was on that record. So that's where that comes from, that Laid Back song.
Yeah. And also, that after the Versatile in 94 between K-Man also, can you tell us about this one? And yet we can feel some samples like Love Is Underground or King of Flava or some samples, some breakbeats that were you write. Tell us about Versatile.
Okay, Versatile was, if I remember correctly, I think that was an instrumental off a vinyl record, an empty instrumental. And it was the guy K-Man, who was rapping on there with me, was the little brother of my rapping partner I was with in a group called Defeat before I was a solo artist. So we were a group in middle school. We started in middle school, 7th, 8th grade, went on into high school. But by the time we got to high school, I was making my own music. I basically went solo because the guy I was rapping with didn't really want to rap no more. He didn't want to make music. He got a car, and he was out on the town hanging out, doing other stuff. But I was in the studio working on building my music up. So, yeah, K-Man was just his little brother. And the only reason I ended up having him on the tape was because I couldn't get my homie, his name was the V.I.C., I couldn't get him on the record because he was never available. He was always in the street. So
yeah,
I got his brother on there with me, and we would just flow and bust freestyles and just do all that kind of stuff. But he really wasn't a rapper. He was just somebody who I knew who was around, and we would be in the studio and just make some music, mainly because, yeah, V.I.C. wasn't available. So that was just not much to tell on that, I guess.
Yeah. You got a song also called Unknown. It's ironic, or it's prophetic, because it's way, way before the most unknown. And it was in 95 from the Welcome to the Southwest tape. Can you tell us about the song Unknown, Unknown to the World?
Yeah, Unknown. Unknown was a song I recorded off of an instrumental from a group called Lighter Shade of Brown. And Lighter Shade of Brown was, I believe they were from Cali, but I worked at a radio station, and it was mainly just a college station. It was 89.9 KUNM Street Beat in Albuquerque. And a lot of these guys would come to the station. And so a lot of the stuff I would do instrumentals, and I would do little freestyles, tribute type stuff, and even started working with some of those guys. There was a guy named Andy Herrera on the West Coast who we were talking with about trying to get a deal going. And he had a group called Black Dynasty. And I remember them coming to Albuquerque a bunch and doing shows and doing a bunch of stuff with them as well. So yeah, this back then at the college station, man, we would just be on air. We would be rapping, freestyling. The rapper Exhibit was part of that. He's from Albuquerque, and he went by Exhibit A. His name's Alvin. He was a part of that whole street beat squad. And so he went to L.A. He left Albuquerque and went to L.A. just as I left and went to Memphis. I actually went to Memphis and then came back to Albuquerque, and I worked at a radio station after I had already been in Memphis. So, yeah, that's what that was.
Right. You did a song also with the legendary Spanish Fly, and you give him his crown as president on Memphis song. And you did a song that's called Supernatural in 95. Can you tell us about this one, the connection with Spanish Fly? It was a time when you got the Joe's Ball, Razor J, all that in the clubs also. Spanish Fly was on Club Explore Club at that time.
Yes, absolutely. Spanish Fly was my first producer when I came to Memphis. And the way we hooked up was through a guy named Oscar Barnes, who had a label called OB Records. And yeah, he had me, Lady J, Big Mark, SMK did a lot of stuff with him. Man, everybody. Zerk used to be down there doing stuff. DJ Fila. Everybody knew Oscar and worked with him. And so I was working on a tape with Oscar, working on an album. And the first producer he hooked me up with was DJ Spanish Fly. Now there was an in-house producer named DJ Bo who produced Land of the Sand for me, and he did some stuff before Fly, but man, when Spanish Fly came, man, we went to work and we had a great time making music. We made recorded all kinds of stuff, and a couple of the songs hit that number six tape. But DJ Spanish Fly was a beast in the studio, man. He loved to be in the studio. He never wrote any lyrics down. He freestyled everything, and he also made beats in a way that was different from anything I ever seen. Like, he didn't program beats. He would he would program a quick drum loop, and he would just play the drum loop. Then he'd pull out the keyboard, and he'd play the keyboard live while he was recording on the reel-to-reel. And so that's how he made his beats. It was real dope. And then I would jump on there. I'd knock a verse out. And Supernatural was just supposed to be me. But he loved the way it came out. He loved it so much. He was like, hey, Jay, let me go ahead and rock a verse on that. And nobody was expecting him to get on there. I think that night at the studio, I think we had a Pretty Tony was there. I know Big Mark was there. There was a bunch of guys there that night when we recorded that. But Spanish Fly got on there. He dropped his verse. And even in the song, when you listen to it, you can hear a bunch of folks in the background on that song, on Supernatural and Straight from the Bottom. We recorded both those songs that same night.
Yeah. And also, you got a song was called Psycho Trip. It was on the Kings of the Underworld Tape Part 5 in 96. And it was at the time you go really deep down with the dark side of the Memphis side, because at the same time we got Lil Grimm, we got Blackout, DJ Sound era off of this type of sound. So you go down with this type of sound too. And can you tell us about Psycho Trip and the influence you have, maybe, or inspiration by maybe Lil Grimm or Sound or Blackout or this type of sound?
Yeah, so I always loved the horror sound. That's something I grew up with, horror movies. I've been a huge fan of that sound. The first time I heard Ice-T, The Tower, I remember, I'll never forget hearing that song and saying, that's how I want my music to sound, like that. And I would try, but I didn't have the ability. I didn't have the money for the equipment. I didn't have all the production that, of course, Ice-T would have had at the time. But when I did get a hold, my first keyboard that I got that was actually official, you know, something better than a Casio, was an Insonic VFX SD1. That VFX became my sound, my signature sound, because I had it for so many years, and I produced so much music off that keyboard. So that whole number five tape was actually the first whole tape that I produced myself. And it's all VFX. It's pretty much the whole tape is just VFX and Sonic sound. And I remember just having so much fun with that tape because it was the first opportunity I had to really make the kind of sound that I wanted, that the scary music sound over some hardcore drums. And that's really what I was going for. Of course, it was limited because I had my little four-track, my Tascam. And so I was real limited on what I had as far as production equipment and studio equipment. But I made use of, you know, with what I had. I made the best of it.
And when we listen to your last song, Memphis, we captioned like the Super Bowl of the 94-95 era, and it was more laid back than now, was more cranky. It was mysterious. It was not simply eerie, but it was some mysterious vibe and laid back. And it changed that after. But it kept the vibe on Memphis, the Memphis song, the last one on Bang Bang. Feel me?
So the you're talking about the on the new album, the song Memphis?
Yeah, on the new album, the Memphis track here.
Yeah, so that's one of my favorites. Yeah, that was the goal for that song, was to really capture that sound before the crunk, which really was a big part of Memphis. I know the crunk stuff was a big part of Memphis move, but really before the crunk and the club and the bounce stuff became hot, Memphis had a very specific sound. And that's what I tried to capture on that song, because that was my – I love that sound. That was my favorite sound right there, was that kind of lo-fi, kind of chilled sample loops, kind of the dirty, grainy tape sound. I just love that old analog sound. And it just reminded me of those old Memphis Underground tapes. And so I was working on a track to try to capture that sound, and the result was Memphis. As once I made the beat, I knew I had to do a song that shouted out Memphis, and that's why I also said, you know, I'm down to nominate DJ Spanish Fly for president, because I just wanted that song to be a tribute song, you know, and just give Memphis its props that it deserves. So that was the whole goal of that song and how that song came about.
Yeah. And also you did the Boogeyman Part 1. It was a dope one, also 98. So it's the first of the saga.
Yeah,
and, the anniversary about the movie. Yeah.
Right, yeah. Man, I love the original Boogeyman song, but it has really messed me up because of all the samples that's in it. A lot of my old underground tapes, I'm having a hard time bringing out digitally to everybody because all the samples in them. So I've been hit a couple times, you know. John Carpenter has his Halloween stuff protected really well. So that's one I have not been able to get away with. I know some people get away with certain stuff, but the Halloween sample, man, you're not really getting away with that one. They got that one protected really well. So, my goal now is to try to capture that sound with having to sample. That's what I'm trying to do. But what I've done on this trilogy was I've sampled my catalog. So I'm sampling all the old Second Family stuff, the Killers from the Black Side, the Playlistic compilation, me and Lil J's old tapes, all our old Memphis tapes is what I'm sampling for on the new music. That way, you know, I don't get hit with anything, so...
So, don't go nowhere. We will go on a song of you. It's 10 Toes Down, and we come back just after.
All right.
Stay here, King Jesse. Right.
Playlistic. Hit it black. Yeah, we out here.
Down.
change how you speak and dig and crack a sound. Oh, I'm made of Teflon, ain't nobody tough as me. Wild out in the crooked way before I moved to Tennessee. Then I met with King JC, he hit the lab, made history. For all your haters doubting, we got proof so you can go and see. OG to the game, boy, background it been stamped approved. Way before y'all jumped up off the porch, man, we was breaking rules. It's crazy how the time changed, lay right on your mind frame. Everybody wanna go viral now, replaced it with the price of fame. Forgot about the status quo, guess nobody care no more. Zombies drinking, surf about the club, it's got them moving slow. Careful with them habits, bro, they love to knock you off your game. How you gon' be OG status? Never say a thing, seen a lot of head things, so the J gon' make a sound. It's my definition to the world, standing ten toes down, ten toes down.
The hustlers on the people, walking through the mainframe. While you play the drum, I'll be standing up, standing ten toes down.
Yeah, we're back here, Murder Master Music Show with King JC. That was Ten Toes Down off his latest album, number 18, Bloody Rain, available right now. Please support that. Tapes and CDs are coming soon. Yeah, it was dope listening to you and Sin chop it up, man. He went into the archives a little bit with you, you know what I'm saying? What's it like, you know what I'm saying, having people overseas? Because I know you connect with a lot of people. What's it like having them know so much about your music?
Man, it's pretty amazing. It blew my mind back in 2001, 2002, around that time. That's when I first got wind of how big our stuff was over there. And we had started a catalog, a mail order catalog of all our tapes, and the response was just overwhelming. I had no idea our stuff was so big in Germany and Switzerland and France, and it just, most of our orders came from overseas, and I had no idea at that time. So to see it still going on, that they show so much love to Memphis rap and just the hip-hop game overseas, it's incredible. I've never been able to go over there and tour. When I was doing
that
ministry, we went over there. Yeah, I'd love to go over there. I was in India, I guess, about 10 years ago, doing missions out there. But, I mean, I did that. That's the only time I've really been over there. I'd love to go to Europe and, I mean, rock shows and I know a lot of these Memphis guys that actually do go over there. And Tommy Ryan and I did discuss briefly us doing something. But, man, he got so busy with the stuff he's got going on. And then I got busy making all this music again. We hadn't linked up. But, yeah, it'd be dope. I'd definitely be down for going overseas and rocking some shows.
Well, I'm real happy for you, man, because, like I said, I've been knowing you better part of 30 freaking years, you know. Good to see you come back and you know, have your fan base waiting for you, ready, you know, and on deck like they are. It's a beautiful thing. I'm going to bring Sin back on. He's got just a couple more questions. And, of course, we're going to go to the Boogeyman 6 track. But before we close out with that, after Sin's done, I want you to have the floor, brother, and just let the people know anything and everything, man. You got some shout-outs, whatever. Sin, you got a couple more, don't you, bro?
Yeah. Just
all right.
In fact, you got a song that's called Subliminal Backwards, a song from the Underground Terror album 2000. Can you talk about this one? What do you feel or think about the Memphis Rap Sigils case? Do you think it's a myth or something maybe real? Because we know the accidents occurred in Mystic Sound. Can I tell about the song?
I missed the first part of what you said, brother.
Ah, so I talk about your song Subliminal, Backwards, the song of Underground Terror in 2000. And maybe the connection with, maybe you heard about it, about the Memphis Rap Sigils. You know, the case of this myth of Memphis Tape Haunted. Can you tell us about this, maybe, if you know about it?
Okay, I know. I definitely heard you say you're talking about Underground Terror, album number 15, right?
Right.
Okay, so I know you're talking about that, but I don't really understand exactly what you're asking about that album, about the song.
I'm asking it maybe subliminal, a hidden message.
Subliminal.
That sometimes, right?
Yeah, exactly. The subliminal song. Yeah. So the idea of that song, and really that whole album has a lot of subliminal little kind of tones in there that where I'm messaging a little bit. This was a time where I was going through a lot of struggles with worldview issues and seeing the world how it works. Seeing how politicians really get down and how there's certain powers that control things in the world. And so I was speaking on some of it semi low key, you know? And so a lot of it I left open for interpretation, but at the same time, you do understand most people will get what I'm talking about. And different people have different views, different political views, all that. But, man, there was a lot going on in our country and in the world at the time. This is after 9/11. That was before 9/11. I believe Underground Terror was before 9/11. But it was there was a controversy on with our president. And so I did a lot of messaging in some of those songs about that. That's basically what that was. Some people like to guess at what I might have been talking about, but it wasn't anything extremely specific. It was more general, but it was about I wanted to try to make people think. You know, that there is stuff going on out here. We do need to be aware. We need to use discernment, use our heads, because there's powers in this world that don't mean us good. They don't have our best interests at heart. That's basically all that was, Sin.
Yeah, it definitely a lot of evil stuff at play in the world. You know, a lot of stuff going on. You know, we lost Brother Sin. He, it's said the French Connection lost his connection. So hopefully he'll call back in. Man, it's been real dope chopping it up with you. And again, I'm very proud of you because, you know, you've been out of the game for a minute and to step right back in and pick up where you left off and gain new fans in the process. You know, that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, man,
to be able
a whole new generation, man. A whole new generation. Who would have ever thought, you know?
20-some-year-old kids, getting into it.
It's really
Sin,
cool.
You're back,
really
brother.
Cool.
Yeah. Sorry, love the connection. The French connection.
Yeah, the French connection was gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess the last one, it's about Studio G, Jim Kelly, Capone, Craig Zirk, Key Latinado. Can you tell us about this one? It was about the legendary, of course, Studio G and Trio, who built Street. Can you tell us about this one?
Yes. Yeah. So that was, oh, man, one of the funnest songs I ever took part of, just because now, you know, you can send stuff through email, but we actually had every feature on that song came over to my studio. It was just so great to have all these guys together. Some of them came at different times, but, man, we had a great time. Everybody was so just gracious with giving verses. Like, we weren't paying each other for features back then. I'll feature on your album, you feature on mine. And they were just so gracious to come making a guest appearance. Cats like Al Capone, DJ Zerk, Mr. Ski, the legends in the game, you know. We got 3MK on there. It was just so good to pull these guys together and, again, pay tribute to a time in Memphis that really changed the game. I mean, Studio G is the roots of Memphis music. It was the beginning of the culture of Memphis rap and the gangsta walk and all this coming together,
right?
And just really having a scene in Memphis. So to be able to pay tribute to that was, oh man, it was great. Man, we had a great time recording Studio G.
Yeah, Studio G, before it was the Muhammad Ali Theater. It's crazy.
Yeah, man, I love that song. Yeah.
And suddenly, they demolished the destroyed the CRG, so it's gone since.
Yeah, they demoed it. It's gone.
Sadly,
yep. It is sad, man.
Yeah. I was there in this club in 1995. It was crazy. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I heard you were down here, man. I think at that time, I think I went back to Albuquerque because. For most of 95, I was on the radio station in Albuquerque, but I could have been here during that time. I don't know. I would have definitely loved to get up with you while you were here.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe because I met a lot of people at the time, but they were unknown. So sometimes we don't know who was this time in 95.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You're right. No, it wasn't. Right.
Juicy G was a DJ at the time.
Yeah, exactly. That's true. Right.
Yeah. It's crazy. Just all them. Yeah. Last question. It's when it's time to go. Can you tell us about this one? Your album. I love this song too.
Man, I appreciate you saying that, man, because I love it as well. And I think it's one of the songs that won't get as much love, really, because it's a song with a message, and it's a personal song. It's one with feelings, emotion to it. And, you know, it ain't the hardest song, but, man, it is. It's a beauty, man. I love the song. And, you know, I got my wife singing on there as well. So my wife singing the chorus. Yeah, so that was nice to have her on there with me. But, yeah, when it's time to go, man, I sat down. I put the beat together first, and the beat really was nice, and I knew I wanted to write something significant and have a song that has some meaning behind it, because most of the album is just fun, you know, it just flows, but when it's time to go, there's a meaning, and the biggest meaning of that song is everybody's so concerned about stacking money, more, and really... The things of this world is real insignificant, man. When it's time for you to go, you ain't taking none of this stuff with you. So some people look at it as YOLO and make what you can while you can, because tomorrow you're gone. I think differently, man. I think, look, I'm going to enjoy the stuff of this world, like my wife, kids, family, my homies, you know. I just enjoy people and enjoy life to the fullest and not be so caught up in trying to give back to earn a dollar, you know? because you ain't taking none of it with you. That's the whole point of the song.
And, that's real cool.
I think it turned out real good. Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Let's go to this Boogeyman 6 track. But before we do, Jay, I want to give you the floor, man. Anything you want to shout out or promote, man, it's all yours, brother. Always an honor.
All right. I appreciate you. Yeah, man, definitely. Thank you so much for having me on the show once again. And the only thing I say is just be on the lookout for the number 18 Bloody Rain cassette tape to drop.
Right.
That should be dropping here within the next week or two. I will say there's a bonus song on there that is not available on the stream. So there's a bonus song just for the cassette tape, and then there's a different bonus song for the CD. So you'll have the tape and the CD. You'll get two bonus songs if you get both. So just be on the lookout because those things are coming. They're on the way.
Definitely, definitely. Everybody go get that number 18, Bloody Rain, available right now. And be on the lookout for the cassettes and CDs of that. And keep supporting King JC. YouTube is King JC TV. Make sure to support, man. We're out of here. Peace.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.